Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is August the 17th, and, interesting days on a Wednesday. It's on a Tuesday. I'm thinking about tomorrow, just things going through my head tonight about leadership, definitely God has been speaking to me about some things, and I feel an urgency and some things that are brewing around us, and I'm trying to really be clear about the things that God is saying to me. But before we get into that, this is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and this is that hour in which God has given me to discuss this particular topic right here, the making of a leader. But before we get into the complete discussion about that, can you join your brother in a word of prayer? Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you this day. Father, I'm grateful for all of the things that you have done. And God, you have given me the opportunity, Father, to look forward, God, and not backwards. So God, I bless you, oh God, that the road is being paved as I walk it. I trust you. And Father, I pray, God, that the things that you give me to say to your people, your leaders tonight, Father, oh God, be the thing that you have designed to change their pathway, Father, to see them, oh God, as the men and women that you want them to be, a part of the ecclesia, the body of Christ. I thank you, oh God. Father, bless us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you can tell, it is the presence of the Lord right now. And prior to going into tonight, man, if I could tell you that the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with me and is around me, and I'm embracing it because of the presence of the Lord, and I believe it has more to do than just the topic of tonight, but just something that God has shown me, and I'm hearing him tell me how, I should decipher this and speak to you about it. And I hope as we go through this tonight that God gives me more clarity so I can speak to you as he has given it to me. We have been discussing the making of a leader. It's an interesting read, a real good book by Frank DiMaggio. I don't agree totally with all of the writings because things kind of group people in. You may hear me use the word believer when they say Christians, and I'm not going to put God in the box and say that he can't do something or he won't do something. The only thing that God won't do is lie. And so and that being a caveat, we have started in chapter one and we're in probably around the third quarter of chapter number two. But from one to where we are today, we've learned that how leadership has changed and where we went from being servants to being leaders, and not a metamorphic change, but how people begin to see things. We begin to define our leaders more in calling them leaders in ways that God never intended. And one of those things is we say ministers, but ministers are really servants. That's just all we are. Ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and whatever we do or say, we are servants. Some of you definitely, chimed in when I said that we treat our pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, we treat them like kings and queens, and they're not. I am not a king, in man's world. I am not a king in the gospel. I'm a servant. And so the word apostle does not give me rule over you. The only thing that God gave man rule over from his spirit was what he created. He never gave man rule over each other. And so the only one that should be over us is God. Now, God has used these different gifts in the body of Christ that he may perfect us, right? Now, I'm going to make a distinction tonight. I made one in the beginning, and I'm making this distinction tonight. You know, the first distinction I made, there's a difference between the body of Christ and man's church. And so I'm going to continue, and I'm going to go a little bit further in this distinction because, you know, we've used a lot of the terminology that God has given us in a religious platform. It has become more churchy than anything. And so for that reason, we only receive the gifts in a platform called, you know, the church, right? But the body of Christ is the body of Christ, whether it is in the street, in the job, in the air, on an airplane, in another country, in the home, you know, or even at a sporting facility. The body of Christ can enter in any of those places, in a prison. It can enter into the lowest place that you can ever think of because we are servants. We should serve whether this person is hungry or healthy. There is something that is unhealthy about somebody physically healthy because they may be emotionally unhealthy. And so so we should be able to minister, you know, to anyone and serve anyone. We should not pick or choose who we are to serve. You know, the analogy is used how Paul was an educated man, but he was sent to the lows. Peter was an uneducated man, but he was sent to the highs. And so it has been that we are picking and choosing who we want to serve, or again, I'm making the distinction now because the body of Christ is the body of Christ, wherever it is, and you have to be ready, willing, and able to serve God through anyone that God sends your way. I am learning through this process, you know, as being called a leader, is that, you know, my responsibility is not to the people, but it's to God. And if I hold my responsibility to God, then anyone that God sends my way, you know, I should be ready to serve. Boy, y'all just don't know, man. The presence of the Lord is heavy right now. And so, you know, when we serve now, the gifts begin to operate. You know, the true gift of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the preacher and the teacher, you know, the true gift begins to operate because it is not determined by the number of people, about how much money that is given. The true gift operates when we can identify or discern that God has sent someone there for us to assist or to help. Now, I want to be clear now. You know, you cannot choose. You cannot pick and choose who you're going to help. You cannot pick and choose when you're going to serve God. If we get into electing a time like we do, we go to church on Sunday. We may go to Bible class on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, or Thursday night. We may have prayer somewhere in between now for those that have prayer at your church. And we may have gatherings of brotherhood and sisterhood, you know. But the key is that this should not determine when you're going to serve, because if the Lord should speak to you on your way to Bible class and detour you, that you would stop and do something for someone, because God put them in your heart. then that is when you're beginning to serve the Lord. This is showing your true leadership, your discernment of not following through with the schedule, but going in a manner by which you are moved and you are directed by the presence of the Lord. Whew, you know, I don't want to preach tonight, but the Spirit of the Lord is just dealing with me about discernment. You know, we our leaders are not discerning the time, you know. And so I want to, as God has led me in chapter 2, and trust me now, I wanted to go a different direction, but the Lord spoke to me and told me to do this. We vaguely went over this part in chapter 2 last week, but I want to, you know, just be obedient to the presence of the Lord and really dive in. So I'm in chapter 2 in the book of The Making of a Leader. And so this is crucial. This is critical. And I hope you leaders are listening and I know you're being attentive because this is critical right now. Now, this is said. Now, discernment is a critical governmental function, right? Now, I want to say this now because it's the spirit of discernment, right? I want to be clear that we are talking about this. All these different gifts and these different, you know, operations of the spirit, that is still only one God. So, you know, it says one of the most important functions of the governmental ministries in the body of Christ is to have spiritual eyes that can discern when those who are called to a particular work in the body and to be able to release them to do that work, to show the importance of this necessary function of leadership. Now, I want to say servanthood. I don't want to say leadership. I want to say servanthood, you know, because it's important that we continue to understand that the language has been changed not by God but by man. We want to make the ones that God has given the plow to as leaders and not touch the plow, but the plow is made for the servant, right? So the necessary function of servants, we need only to look to the Lord Jesus, who also performed this ministry while on earth. Right, look at that now. So if Jesus did it on earth, right, then it should be elementary that we must do this. Jesus had the spiritual eyes to see and a marred vessel, the potential that could be developed for us in the kingdom of God, right? He had the wisdom to look the many defects in the vessel and to discern the treasure buried beneath the surface. So this is critical now. You know, this is crucial, and I'm not telling you the presence of the Lord is with me right now. This is critical right now because we got a service of the Lord. It's our spiritual eyes that need to be open. It's our spiritual ears that need to be open, and so. We have to begin to see now and ask God to show us what he sees. We have to be able to stand regardless of what others may say or think as the true servants of God. There are people that are out here that we are looking at because they don't fit the mold. They haven't studied like we have. They haven't went through the theological seminary. They have not prayed many hours and counted the hours of prayer like we have. They have not begun to give as much as we gave. And so we're looking at the wrong thing and the wrong eyes of visualizing this when the right eyes should be your spiritual eyes. Well, I hope somebody's hearing me because you're struggling tonight. These pastors and these leaders are struggling because God has told you to spend some time with someone, and he's instructed you on how to mold them, but they're not fitting your criteria on how they should be prepared for this
position that God has shown you that they should be there for. Now listen to this, to release the numerous ministries in the body of Christ that are now lying dormant, right? The body of Christ servants must function with a spiritual discernment like Christ. It will have to, it happens no other way. It can happen, this just can't happen no other way. This is Christ's body, and so if we are part of the body of Christ, then our spiritual eyes must be open. Now. If we are part of man's church, then we are far from discernment. There may be someone in man's church that has the spirit of discernment, but it intimidates the leader in the house, right? And because that leader does not have the spirit of discernment, it is he or she is intimidated because of what God has shown you. Oh, Lord Jesus, y'all have no idea what's about to happen around you right now. You have no idea. There's no other way. There's no other way. Ministry must, the truth of a servant, we must learn to look past the natural deficiencies and see spiritual potential that others have in the Lord. I want you to bear with me here tonight because I'm really slowing it down. We are really struggling in a manner by which we are trying to hear from the Lord. We're struggling doing it because if a pastor dies, the part of man's church falls apart. Someone leaves. If the pastor retires, someone is not accepted to, you know, receiving of the one that has been chosen either by man or by God. Right now, this is interesting now because, you know, in Isaiah chapter number 11, it contains prophetic word which was fulfilled in Christ's ministry. It states, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Jesus did not judge after the wisdom of the insight of men, but after the knowledge and the discernment of God. This can be illustrated in his choosing of Levi, the tax collector. Right? Now, you got to hear this now. The tax collectors were unpopular in the New Testament times. Taxes were not paid, you know, by mail of the day, but were collected by an imperial officer as a daily routine. This imperial officer was usually a part of the custom authority of the land. Hatred of paying duty to the Roman government was, as it were, engraven in the very human nature of the people who were subject to Rome. In Judea now, the tax collector was a representative, object of the hatred of the Roman Empire. Tax itself was viewed as sinful. If the tax collector was a Jew, as was Levi, he was considered to be a rebel and renegade in the eyes of a countryman. In spite of all this, the wisdom of God was at work against the wisdom of man. Jesus saw Levi's potential for apostleship. Now, this is what the writer said, right? So that goes into the author itself for the authorship of one of the gospel accounts, Matthew's gospel. Jesus had the spiritual insight to release the ministry of those who were unloved and those who had the least external promise of a successful service. Jesus was not bound by human discernment or approval. He was not judging after the sight of natural eyes, nor hearing of natural ears. So now, this is just an example of God choosing someone that everybody else had a problem with, right? So God chooses someone, and you may not agree with God's choice. It doesn't matter if you agree or not. Whomever God chooses, you know, you cannot discern whether or not that person has met the criteria of God. God just told you. And again, I'm going to reiterate some things that God did not give why is it important that we not try to get in God's shoes to determine a leader is? Because of this now, I'm going back now weeks ago, you heard me say that you are a leader. I did not say you was an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, a teacher. You could be, you know, but the thing is, this is not the position that God had called in the body of Christ to be served. This is the position in the body of Christ that was called to serve, right? Not to be served, but to serve. Now, I'm going to broaden this perspective for you just a little bit more. An apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, a teacher, right, is also working in a spiritual nature, but can be positioned inside the marketplace, if y'all want to just ride with me here for a minute. So I want to take the thing that you call a title away and from your description and your definition, and if they are servant, right, then they have some authority to serve, right? God has given them authority to serve, right? Now, what is this authority that he's giving them? And so now, if you remember back in Genesis chapter number 1, you know, after he had made man, he gave man authority. And so this is the power that we once speak of, and he gave him the power to rule over everything except for man. And so, but he gave the gift that it would serve the purpose of molding the body of Christ. I want y'all to hear me here. And so in molding the body of Christ, right, God is using us to do something for him. I want to get this clear now. That he's using us to prepare us for him. So he's talking to us to prepare us for him. What does Jesus want? He's looking for a bride. And so he has people that he has called, that he has chosen to serve in a manner that will beautify the bride. And not their way of beautification, but how God is telling them to trim here and to cut back here. But see, the trimming and the cutting and the redressing is not to the people that are coming the way to the leader, but the trimming and the cutting comes from the leader when he's listening to God correct him or her. And so now as they begin to listen to the Lord, I want y'all to hear this now, because they become the example as the people that are coming that they serve see what God is doing to them. But the key element here is not just to watch what's going on with the servant, but it's to understand what the servant is doing. The first thing the servant is doing is giving an ear to the Lord so God would tell him or her what they need to do. So if you as a leader cannot begin to be the example of hearing from the Lord, right, then it's going to be difficult to point people to a God that you're not listening to. If you are listening to the Lord, then it becomes simple to point them to Jesus. Man, I just hope I got enough time, Lord, tonight to get this out to your people. And so now, now when you hear this now, you have to in a sense begin to grab a hold to the fact that regardless of your deficiencies, God has his hand on you. He's preparing you to do something even greater. I'm not going to say he's preparing you to lead because you're leading right now. I'm not going to tell you that he's preparing you to serve. He's you're serving right now. And so that's the key now. It's not what you're going to do. It's what you're doing right now. Whew, Jesus. You know, Lord, I need your help, Lord. God, I need your help. So now it's critical in this hour now. It becomes real critical because you know, if this man or woman is given the responsibility to release people to serve, the process of recognizing and realizing the ministries in the body of Christ takes time and consistent, watchful care. Now, this is his steps in regarding this, to recognize the ability and the potential in the person, to focus on the positive areas in the person, to challenge the person to fulfill his potential and develop his gifts, be willing to spend time with him. Now, it says him, but I'm going to say her. Now the other things are good, but here comes the challenge for the servant, the real servant, right? You know, you have to be willing to spend time with the ones that God send you. You, the leader, have to be willing to be frustrated with that individual without giving up on them. Y'all hear me? So nobody gave up on you, and you didn't walk completely straight when God was choosing you. You did not walk completely upright when God was choosing you. And so you have to give the same care and love to the ones that God has sent your way. I hope you all are hearing what I'm saying now, because the struggle is now, and I'm going to go a little bit further, is that we want people to meet a criteria. Oh, God. You know, we'll finish reading this. The leader, the servant, must be willing to encourage them through the times when they make mistakes. The leader, the servant, must plant a vision in the heart of true shepherding or seeing or foreseeing or having vision. The leader must give opportunities for development, must put confidence in the service of these people and pray how for them to serve because of how God gives them. Now you've got to hear this, because I'm going to say this, and some of us, you know, we've been critical, and I got both hands up because I have too. I have been critical myself. You know, we may be looking for people that may not fit or fit criteria, but the true leader now, the true servant that is before you could either be your spouse or your child. Whew. Yeah, Lord, yes. The true servant that God has sent to you could either be your spouse or your child. And I know we have thoughts about our children, if I could start there for a minute. I don't know how long I'm going to be on this topic right here. But when it comes to our children, we want them to walk right. We want them to have some type of relationship. I say covenant, but we want them to have some type of relationship with God. And we are critical upon them when they make mistakes, because we see where they err, you know, and we keep a distance when they become older. We check on them, we fellowship with them, but we have to remember that that's God's child, and he just allowed you to parent that child. To the women, he allowed you to give birth to that child, you know, to the men, he gave you the opportunity to father that child, you know, from an earthly perspective, but that child still belongs to God. And just as they are a child, you know, your child, you were someone's child or still is someone's child, and you have to grab a hold to the fact that in your rearing and the way that you came up, if you came to Christ early or late or in the middle years, you know, that was still certain struggles. And it has been God that has perfected you to this point, because perfection happens every day. God had to speak to me about this, because every time we begin to go before the Lord and ask him to forgive the things that we've done as we forgive others, you know, he's perfecting us to remind us that we make mistakes. He's reminding us that we fall. He's reminding us that even in mistakes and the falls and the failures, he's still there, you know. And so it is these moments that we as leaders, as parents, as overseers, as mother, as father, you know, and having these children, that they're going to take either opposite roles or the same roles that we took. And it is the love that God showed us that we're going to have to show them. And so it is that leader that gives them the opportunity to make mistakes. It is that leader that puts them in a position as they put the plow in front of them to see the heaviness and the sturdiness. But yet what you have to do in order to stand behind the plow, you know, and so you may not have the strength to do the things with the plow that I did. And so I don't want my children to walk my road because they're going to have to deal with my demons. I just want to get that out to you now. And so the other thing that we have to begin to marinate on as spouses, as men that have wives that have husbands, you know, we think that we are further down the road knowing God than they are, that no one can know God like I can when it comes to my family, and that's not true. God would deal with you and your responsibilities to your family and how to keep them together if you listen to him. But for the other spouse, God is dealing with them based upon how they serve. God deals with you on how you serve. You have to step back and allow God to deal with them on how they serve, right? Y'all back with me here for a minute. Now, ain't going to be long. So now, the key element here, it becomes, very impressive when you see it. It is that you have the unity, but yet separated. How do I say this? You know, you're unified because God brought you together to work as a team, but you're separate because you have a service and your spouse has a service. What brings you all together is the love you have for God through one another. And your difference in your service is the glue that keeps you all together. Because what you are good at, your spouse may not be. But what your spouse is good at, you may not be. And so it's the interlinking on how the good of the other comes over and where you fail. And where you fail, you know, they lift you up. And it is the good that is within you that comes over and into your spouse's area that lifts them up. And so as you all begin to hold each other up, you know, you're leading now, you know, because there is leadership that is happening with both of you all. It is not the man that is standing there and dictating the right and the left and where to go and what not to go. It is not the woman that's getting upset because she can't see him doing certain things that she would want him to do. That's not her ministry, is to look and see what he's not doing. It's not his ministry to look and see what she's not doing. The ministry happens, the service happens, is when both of you all can hear from God of what you are responsible for. My Lord. And some of us think that no one can tell them anything. And then it becomes difficult for the unity of the marriage to happen is because your eyes is focused on the deficiencies of the person that you once loved. You're not encouraging. Your eyes are focused on deficiencies and what this person is not doing. And yet you don't see that God has put you in a servant position to serve. And if you really grasp a hold of it, that service is causing you to lead by example in the area that God is giving you power in. Oh, my God. You know, and so that a marriage does not exist with one by itself. Now, I didn't want to choose this topic tonight. God chose this topic, and I had to get it out. I had to talk about it tonight. And so it is not for one to think that they have to do everything because this other person can't do anything right. They're useless, you know. And then the focus is not on what they do right, but the focus is on what they're doing wrong. And then we don't become the servants in the house that we are in, and we're asking God to come into the house, you know. And we're asking the Lord to lay his head in the house. And we think that's some type of domineering spirit that has to be there because we're males. There has to be some domineering spirit there because of the woman, and she's tired of taking it. And so we're showing how to be bad leaders and not good leaders. You know, we're not serving the Lord through the spouse that God has given you. We're serving ourselves, and God has nothing to do with it. Got to go a little bit further here, you know, because God is pushing me. He's pushing me to get to a certain point. Now, if there's something that we must be doing, you know, we have to train, you know, but we don't train with instructions. We train by serving, you know. We should be training, you know, but we should be showing and handling the situation with love, you know. We are restorers of broken bones, you know, in the body of Christ. We are framers of the broad use of God's house. And so God's house is you. That's how we're framing it, you know. How is this structure that you have given as a temple of the Lord, how now is it being framed? We're sharpeners of stone. We are healers of the breaches of the hedge of God's garden. We are liberators of the bound. We are adjusters of the out of joint. We are members of the torn. We are equippers of the body of Christ, placers of God's people, organizers of the Lord's kingdom, molders of God's clay vessels, seers of potential for God's service. So we are all of these things, my Lord, God, hallelujah. So we are these people that God has made us. So we have to be training, meaning we're serving. And we can't train people. I heard someone say we have many instructors, very few stand with their hand and give conversation and tell you to read things and follow the steps. But a teacher grabs you by your hand and lets you feel the dough when you're making bread. The teacher lets you feel the clay when you're making a pottery. You know, the teacher lets you feel the weight of the axe when you're chopping the wood. The teacher lets you feel the pull of the fish from the rod when you're fishing. You know, the teacher allows you to feel the weight of carrying people when they can't walk themselves. And so we have to be servants, and these are the leaders, and I feel, Lord Jesus, these are the leaders that God is looking for, not those that are waiting for somebody to carry them, not someone that is looking back and trying to figure out who's following them, you know, but your eyes got to be fixed on Jesus. Oh, Lord, I'm almost there. Hallelujah. God is good, you know, and worthy to be praised. So bear with me here now. We're almost there. And so now we consume some things. And so because we consume them, we have no discernment of time. You know, we cannot hear what God is saying to his people right now because we shut the door on plenty of things that God was saying, you know. We're not interested no more in seeing, you know, the growth of the people of God. We're not interested in seeing that. We're interested in the growth of the people that come into the building, not how they grow spiritually. You know, I want to see that the work that God has given me to do doesn't keep people coming into a building, but it positions them that when God speaks to them, they can walk by the building and go to some people. those, that mother that doesn't come to church for her screen door needs fixing, that mother that can't come to church because her plumbing is not working, that we walk by a building that we built for people to come to, but we need to go to the houses where the elderly now doesn't have food in the pantry, but they're eating cat food. And so people are laughing at them, and nobody is knocking at their door to see how they are or how they are living. You know, this is heartfelt right now, because, you know, we're trying to attract people into a building. We want them to come and worship, or come and go through the ritual that we call worship. But true worship cannot happen until you obey God. If you really want to worship the Lord, then servants must first hear from God, get instruction from God, and then obey God. And then now, that is worship unto the Lord. He can receive that. He can't receive you just because you clap your hands and you call that worship. You come in and sing a song and you call that worship. That's not worship. You have to hear from the Lord and do what God is asking of you to do in order to worship him. So we have to walk past the building, this heart. We have to walk past the place that we call church, because there's a young man and young lady that don't have a father. You know, he's either locked up in prison, or he's dead, or on the street in drugs. And we don't want to throw shade upon the man for whatever decisions that he made. Throwing shade on the man is not going to do anything for those children that their father is not there. There's some children now that their mother is not there, because she may be going through the same situation as their father. And so they are left to defend on their own. And we see them going to a system called DFACS in the state of Georgia, or whatever the Department of Family and Children's Services are, because they step in because nobody wants to fend for the children. It's not my child. And so we leave them out there to defend for themselves. Where are the real servants? Where are the real leaders today? Are we hearing from the Lord? Have we honestly sat down long enough and got in a quiet place, not just to get into the presence of the Lord, but to ask God, what is it, God, that you would require of me? Can we walk past the building to those that are hungry? Can we walk past the building that we call man's church and help those that are hopeless and homeless? Can we? As much money as we give and take up to finance buildings, we're building structures and destroying people. Because it's more important that we put butts in the seats and have a building to accommodate the butts in the seats. But we can't take a seat in the house where this person has no heat in the winter or no coolness in the summer. We can't go and sit in their house. Where are the real leaders? What are we discerning in this hour? Who are we listening to? What is determining what we do? The real leader is not the educated one. The real leader is not the one that, because my father was a pastor, I'm a pastor. That's not the real leader, because of lineage and things of that nature. God is choosing men and women, boys and girls, to serve. They don't have to speak eloquently. They don't have to be able to decipher and know the scripture as we know it. Really, some of us can quote it, but we can't live it. And I'm not interested in anyone that calls himself a leader that stumbles over reciting a scripture or quoting it to the letter. I'm more drawn to the one that can hear from God. Those young men and women, if you are on this call tonight, and you're struggling hearing from the Lord, God has given me a charge. Because ultimately, I'm not interested in you hearing from me. I don't want to manipulate your time or the energy that you have to do the things that God has asked of you. I'm more dedicated to the fact that you have an ear and you won't follow my struggles if you hear from God. The ministry that God has given you is bigger than coming into a building on a Sunday. The ministry that God has given you is bigger than trying to attract a whole bunch of people to give you money. Bigger than that. If he wants you to feed the homeless, listen to God, pull the people together, and the food would be there, and the nurturing people would be there to help feed those that don't have anything to eat. I'm a witness to that. I am a witness to that. Tonight, dear heart, I want you to look in the mirror. Don't want you looking at whose name is on the platform of a building of a church that they call church. Don't want to look at the flyers you see on Facebook trying to promote someone because apostle here and evangelist here. You know, not interested in none of that stuff. Not interested in and even coming on Facebook to preach or anything of that nature. The true ministry is when you don't care who knows and you're willing to do it, whether it's take some of your own money and God should speak to you and go buy as many $2 meals as you can and go feed somebody. If you're a woman, yes, take somebody with you. You don't need to be out there doing it by yourself. For safety reasons. Band together with some people. It doesn't have to be on Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, Easter Sunday, as they call it. Even under the holidays. If you hear from the Lord, he will show you the same way he fed 5,000 with food left over to feed them another day. He'll show you how to take the little that you think you have, bless it, show it to be a lot. Now is not the time to be thinking of, you know, we have all these things to concern about, buying a home, making a home look beautiful, making it feel like family. Those things are great. But they take up a lot of your energy and a lot of your time. Yes, we got places that we can pray. Yes, you know, it's peaceful and stuff, you know. But it's these things that takes us away from serving the Lord the way we should. I'm not saying you shouldn't have it. You should, if that's what you work for. But the truth is, are you making a decision that stands between you and the true service, as we call ministry, that God has given you? Not made a distinction and said that the body of Christ, the gifts that are in the body of Christ, the leaders, are not in a building called the church, because they are the body of Christ, a.k.a. the church. So wherever they go, whether they're on the job, at a concert, at a football game or sporting event, at the movies, downtown, in the mall, at home, in another country, on a cruise ship, in an airplane, driving. If you are part of the body of Christ, you are there. And you have just brought Jesus into a place, and he's not going to allow you to bring him somewhere without you serving him. Service that we have unto the Lord doesn't have a time clock on it from 9 to 5, like you do a job. Doesn't require a specific uniform in church like we wear robes or suits. it doesn't require that your hair is completely groomed because we want to look spiffy. It just requires that you are able to serve. And if you are a true servant, the truth of the matter is that God will always give you an opportunity to serve him because he's going to send somebody your way. Key element, we must be discerning in this hour. If you do not have the spirit of discernment, if God is not showing you or speaking to you, then it's time to get into a place where you can hear from the Lord. It's that moment, that time, that when we get there, God will continue to lead us and speak to us. This is critical in this hour. As people are dying, dear hearts, you know, it is crucial for me. I don't know about you, for me right now. If you love the Lord, it's critical for you. If you are a servant of the Lord, it's critical for you. I didn't say you had to belong to somebody's church in order to love the Lord. I didn't say you had to belong to somebody's church to serve God. But if God has really put something in you, and it is that time to awaken the gift so you can serve. If God has done this, your time is now. Your time to serve him is now. If you don't know how, you can get in contact with me because everybody on this call has my number. I am not throwing out a right-hand fellowship for a new organization or for to join a church. I'm not interested in that. I'm more interested in seeing you become who God say you are. If you're a business owner, you are acting in a framework as a leader. If you're working in a capacity for someone, regardless of that position that you're working in, you are serving. And so as God send you people in respect to the job, you're serving. You are serving. There are evangelists and prophets in the marketplace. I call an evangelist a salesperson. There are plenty of salespeople out there with a product that they're selling because they want to get paid. And so that same mentality of an evangelist, they should be out there, you know, sharing the things that God has given them and the proof and the evidence behind it. The prophet is a forecaster for businesses, telling them, you know, essentially what is about to happen and looking at the highs and the lows and trying to come as close to predicting the market in reference to investors and things of that nature. Now, they do that because they're profession and they love it. But the true prophet will hear from God and will not be predicting anything. It will just be saying whatever God has given them to say. I want you all to hear me tonight. This is real. This is not fake. The body of Christ is not dead. We are not under attack. You have to see the body in order to attack the body. And the body of Christ is unseen to the natural eye. The devil don't even know where you are, have no clue of what God is asking of you to do. He's waiting, though, to be sure he can be a stumbling block. Oh, yes. Because if he can change the language again, then you're going to think you're serving the Lord by not doing what God said because of fear and because of what people may say or how people may see you. I'm on 5 years past 50. I don't care what people say or see. I don't care. I'm not concerned about being a part of somebody's organization. I'm not concerned about being licensed by anybody else. My concern is that I hear from God and that he continues to speak to me, and the spirit of discernment is operating in my life. I'm able to serve the people that he has given me. And if I can serve those people, I'm serving him. If I can love God, I'm going to love God through those people that he sent me. I know you all probably are listening to me and trying to figure out what's going on. You know, I cannot tell you in a lot of detail that there's a sweeping across the land again of leaders that should have been servants. There's a sweeping across the land. And until we, as those that don't see ourselves as leaders, understand that you are leading, then we're leaving the work that God has given us to someone else. My big mama once told me, don't be successful at something that God never told you to do. Because if you do, you'll leave what God gave you to do undone. And I guess you can say, how can me as a leader be successful at something that God never told me to do? When you're listening to your own conversation and you're letting these people pat you on the back and tell you you are something that you're not, then you will try to build a big church. You will try to put butts in the seats, and you won't be looking out for anybody but yourself. And you won't serve your spouse, neither will you serve God. You will be serving yourself and wanting people to serve you. Pray with your brother right now. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, O God, for your healing power, your virtue, O God, your grace. Father, I pray, God, that I did exactly what you have asked of me to do this night. And God, that the ears that heard it, God, not wash it through and not understand, oh God, that just because they are not operating in man's church, that they're not leading, because somebody is watching. You're sending somebody their way, Father. And God, I thank you, oh Lord, that after this day, Father, the flood of people that are coming your people's way, the flood of them, because they're saying they don't have a way to serve. How shall I serve? God, send them the people and give these servants the spirit of discernment that they can hear from you and that we work jointly together. God, I thank you. Father, I appreciate you. Lord, be with us as we leave this platform tonight, Father. And as we come back again, if it's your will, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Dear hearts, give God praise. Please keep me in your prayers. I'm traveling to Florida on Thursday, having my pre-op appointment. And I'm having surgery on September the 8th, getting my right hip surgically repaired. And so keep me in your prayers. God bless you. And continue now to understand the making of a leader. That's God making you one. Amen. God bless you.